chicken blocked out the sun. Straight for home, all the people did run, singing, so long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dusty is a-getting my home, and I've gotta be drifting on. The world, and then we'd sing a song and then sing it again. We'd sit for hours and not say a word, and then these words would be heard. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good. Dusty old dark, they sighed and cried, hugged and kissed. Instead of marriage, they talk like this, honey. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. So long, it's been good to know ya. This dusty old dusty is getting my home, and I've gotta be drifting. Salvation of sin. The churches was jammed and the churches was packed. That dusty old dust storm, it blowed so black. The preacher could not read a word of his text. He folded his specs, he took up a collection and said,
Woody Guthrie's Dusty Old Dust, interpreted there by Leanne Womack. From a compilation of songs by Woody Guthrie called Home in This World, Woody Guthrie's Dust Bowl Ballads. We have been looking for Lisa leading the owl prowl that was going to join us at this time, and have been having trouble connecting with her. But the owl prowl will take place September 24th at 6:15 at Yellow Creek State Park in Indiana. And if we connect with Lisa, we'll make sure that we're able to have her talk a little bit more about that. But again, that's September 24th. At 6:15 in the evening. Who? Lisa Meadows of Yellow Creek State Park and the Owl Prowl, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, Tube City Online Media at WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, Audio Now, listen by telephone, 515-605-9542, and internet radio stations and streaming services like Radio Garden, TuneIn, and more, a list of which is at slbradio.org/radio.
I feel so good, must be wrong. Feel like I might just come on strong. Guess I better knock on wood. I feel so good. You look so nice, you bring me down. Knows how you got me hanging around. Waiting for some bad advice. You look so nice. Got the wrong impression. Let me make a full confession. I feel so bad, it must be right. Have myself a nightmare every night. All of my friends are glad I feel so bad.
The great Mose Allison at the Saturday Light Brigade. Our Soundhound puzzle coming up in just a moment, but good news. We found Lisa Meadows, or she found us. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you could join us today. The Owl Prowl, it's Yellow Creek State Park is going to be coming up. It's September 24th. Tell us about what this hike is all about.
So the owl prowl is, this time of year, the owls are starting to get active. I should say they're active year-round. But what we're doing, just with Halloween coming and the weather is still pretty nice at the end of September, we have an owl prowl at our North Shore. It's going to be Friday, September 24th, from 6:15 to 7:45. What we do is we do like an owl program, like kind of like a life history of owls. Usually when people come around 6:15, and as it gets darker, we will then go out for a hike, and we will listen for owls around the Boy Scout camp or the North Shore area of the park. To just kind of, we call for them, and we see if they call back. It's a program that's really good for adults, teens, and kids age 7 and up. It's quite interesting to have an owl call back and forth to you. We do ask that people dress for the weather, wear hiking shoes, and bring a flashlight. It's at our North Shore Pavilion, which if people aren't familiar, they can call the park office to get directions, or they can get on our Facebook page, and there's also directions posted with the Owl Prowl at the North Shore for next Friday on the events page.
Are owls plentiful in southwestern Pennsylvania?
I'm sorry.
Are there lots of owls in this part of the region?
There is. We have about there's about 4 species that are here year round, and then we have about 5 species that migrate through. So we usually call for some of the owls that are here year round that are more common to the area, but depending on the time of year, you may get all kinds of interesting owls.
There are like 5 or 6 that are really common species.
I should say about 4 out of the 9 are pretty common to the area that are here year round. There are other ones that pass through, but it really depends on the time of year kind of thing.
I still remember the first time I ever saw an owl, and it kind of, I almost sort of jumped out of my hiking boots. Not that I was scared. It was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
At first I thought, is that a cat up there? And then I looked and, no, that's not a cat. That's a beautiful, beautiful animal. They're really gorgeous to look at.
They are.
So
we usually don't see them as much as we hear them. That's kind of the interesting thing about an owl prowl. Because it's getting darker, sometimes you're lucky and you get to see them like in the fading light. Or I know there's some state parks you go to. I've seen them like right out where you're just driving down the road and you can see them on the branch, which is really awesome to see. But I know that's one of the things I always have to explain to people is that we're not as likely to see them as we are to hear them. They often know that we're there long before we even know they're around kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of, I like to say, hurry up and wait.
Where do they hide, or how do they keep from being seen?
They just blend really well with their environment.
Yeah.
So it's a partial camouflage. It's also for certain owls, they freeze. Like when they sense there might be an enemy nearby or something that might want to hurt them, they stay very still. They also are like their flight is kind of silent or almost silent that you can't really hear it. So it's another thing. It's not like some of our turkeys, like when you walk up at a flock of turkeys and it's probably one of the noisiest things you're ever going to hear. This is literally, if you're lucky, like I said, you might see them up in the tree, but usually they kind of check us out, you know, as we start calling and they start coming in closer during the calling. But it's not very often we actually get to see them on the walk. So,
well, this sounds like a lot. This sounds like fun to go in a group and be quiet and sort of to call out and see. Again, this is going to be Friday, September 24th at 6:15 at Yellow Creek State Park. And you can get a hold of the park on its website or Facebook page to learn more. Can owls, people think that owls can practically turn their heads 180 or 360 degrees. I know that can't be true, but do they have a pretty wide field of vision?
They actually have extra vertebrae and muscles in their neck, so they're able to turn their head about 270 degrees.
Wow, it is that much.
So you can turn your head about 180 if you go from side to side. They have an extra quarter turn that they can do. But one of the things people don't realize, owls can't move their eyes. So in order, their eyes are so big in their skulls that there's just no room for movement. So one of the ways that they, that those extra muscles, they've kind of adapted over time to being able to move their heads constantly. If you watch videos of owls when they're on the hunt, you'll see them kind of cocking their heads, turning their heads around, really trying to figure out where the sound is coming from in order to catch their dinner, kind of thing. So, but yeah, that is one of the things, like, we kind of talk about myths of owls. And but I mean, to see one, I can see why they turn their heads really fast compared to what we can do. And some people are like, oh my gosh, they can turn their heads completely around. I'm like, not quite, no. But it's definitely further than we can do.
You're making me want to go on the owl howl or owl prowl with you. Well, I hope you get a good turnout. I know Ricky was telling me you've got a busy day today coming up, and I hope some of our listeners will join you in Indiana at Yellow Creek State Park. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I apologize for the lateness.
Oh.
Hey, is there one other event I could talk about real quick?
Oh, certainly.
You?
Please.
Hey, we have, so one thing that would be really awesome, we're in a competition starting next Saturday, September 25th, with 10 other state parks. It is called the Fall Migration Roundup, and it's kind of like a birding event where you can just go out to your local state park. Yellow Creek is one of the state parks participating, and just kind of mark down the birds that you're seeing. You can either do it on eBird, or you can email me your birds, and I'll put them on eBird for you. We have checklists at the park, too, that people can pick up if they want. The big thing is it'd just be really fun. You don't have to be an advanced birder. You can just be somebody going out, walking around, just looking for birds. We have a big migration coming through. Next Saturday, we have a fall migration. The kickoff program is going to be September 25th at 8:45 a.m. Over here at the Environmental Learning Center, kind of thing. And then we'll just head out to the park and look. But people can also start. It starts next Saturday morning, and it'll go through August 3rd. So if anybody has any time and they feel like coming out and looking for birds at Yellow Creek and they want to email the results to me, they can just do that. Or, like I said, if they call the park office, we can try to email them a checklist that they can fill out, or they can just email me the results for each day.
Oh, that sounds like fun. And other state parks are participating as well. Is this information on your website? It's probably on the state's website, too.
Yeah, it's one of the things people can do if they want to learn more about it. They can either Google Yellow Creek State Park events, or they can, if they're on Facebook, just look up the Yellow Creek State Park official Facebook page, and everything will be posted on there and advertised under our events.
Very cool. Well, good luck. I hope things go well. And I'm glad you mentioned that, too. We're always happy to help you publicize things, Lisa. So please keep in touch.
Oh, that'd be great.
Take care. And
all right. Thank you.
In the middle of the night, watching things going right, I'll sing along.
And we thank Lisa Meadows for being with us. And without further ado, the sound hound is here. And I'm going to try to wrest the sound away. And indeed, I've got it. And here is the sound for this week. 412-200-5975. That was quick. Let's hear it again. Do you know what that is the sound of? 412-200-5975. A Saturday Light Brigade charge awaits you if you can identify that particular sound. Once more, 412-200-5975. That is today's Sound Hound. We'll give the Sound Hound a little drink while you think.
Alice is a woman. Ralph is a man. Alice tries to dialogue. Ralph never can. Alice wants them both to do aerobics every night. Ralph wants to go down to the bar and watch the fight. Alice wants to go to Paris and study art. Ralph knows all the Three Stooges movies by heart. Alice wants a kid. Ralph wants a dog. Alice does ballet. Ralph likes to clog. Everybody knows that Alice and Ralph don't fit. Everybody knows that Alice and Ralph are a split up waiting to split. Oh, Alice and Ralph, Ralph and Alice, king and queen in their own little palace. Ralph and Alice, Alice and Ralph, you pick your partner and you suit yourself. Alice is a lady, Ralph is a guy. Alice offers options, Ralph just tells you why. Alice blows off steam by going shopping at the mall. Ralph puts his fist through the wall. Alice loves those old movies that make her cry. Ralph likes the ones where all the Nazis die. Alice likes to ski, Ralph likes to skate. Alice shows up early, Ralph gets there late. Everybody knows that Alice and Ralph won't work. Everybody knows that she is a fool and he is just a jerk. Whoa, Alice and Ralph, Ralph and Alice, king and queen in their own little palace. Ralph and Alice, Alice and Ralph, you pick your partner and you suit yourself. Alice needs her sleep, Ralph has to snore. Alice tries to fascinate, Ralph tends to bore. Alice defines her worth by accomplishing her goals. Ralph likes the work, the remote control. Alice appreciates the finest of cuisine. Ralph prefers his weenie cooked with beans. Alice wants to talk, Ralph wants to read. Alice wants to stay, Ralph wants to leave. Everybody knows these two should never pair. Everybody knows except Alice and Ralph, and Alice and Ralph don't care. Whoa, Alice and Ralph, Ralph and Alice, king and queen in their own little palace. Ralph and Alice, Alice and Ralph, you pick your partner and you suit yourself. Pick your partner and you suit yourself. Pick a partner and suit yourself.
The Saturday Light Brigade, that's Joel Mabus. Kathy Marion Wood is going to join us in a few moments to talk about a great storytelling event. And we have a couple of people with the correct answer to our Soundhound puzzle. Jackie, please hang on. We're going to talk with Sue first and then with you. Hello, Sue.
I'm so excited because it's wind chimes.
It is wind chimes. You're absolutely right. Let me see if the bugler has something for you. He does. Sue, where are you calling from?
Well, actually, I've called you before, but I'm calling from Apple Blossom Senior Living in Moon Township.
I recognize your voice now. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Oh yeah, it's great. And you know what Ricky said? She doesn't have any wind chimes, and I said, well, you have to make sure Larry gets you some.
Ricky said she doesn't have wind. I guess she doesn't have any outside right now.
Okay.
But we have a whole patio full of.
Oh good.
We have an
okay.
There, we have an enclosed patio, and you know, she's thinking we don't have any out on the porch.
But oh, is that what you're saying, huh?
At least I'm guessing. But the cats love all those indoor wind chimes.
They sure do.
They like to paw at them.
But
you can hear wind chimes for miles and miles away.
I know. And it's just such a peaceful feeling when you hear them.
It is. And, you know, we only played that teeny little clang.
Yes.
As a clue, but
right.
We have more that we can.
Oh,
in fact, this will give you. There we go.
There we go. Yes.
Lots and
yes.
Lots of wind chimes.
Oh, I know. Well, I just love this program. I think it's the best program on Saturday morning radio. I really do.
Thank you. We're so glad you're here, and
okay.
Thanks. Take care. And now Jackie joins us. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh, PA.
Nice to have you with us today. And you knew the sound. Whoop, there it is. You knew it. What is it?
Yeah, wind chimes.
Wind chimes. The bugler has a charge for you. Do you have wind chimes?
I used to. My daughter made one in school once, but it got broke with like a storm. And I just haven't got any sense.
Yeah,
they are a very peaceful sound.
They are. I know there's some people, they'll hear them. In fact, we have a song about that coming up in a moment where folks will kind of be kept up all night. But it's a lot nicer than a lawnmower in the middle
of
the night.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. What neighborhood are you in?
Crofton Heights.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's so nice to talk to you. Thank you for calling us, Jackie. And
thank you.
I hope you have a good day. We're glad you're able to start it with us. Take care.
Yes, you too.
Thanks. That's Jackie with the correct answer. Tommy in Virginia got a two. So did Zach in Pittsburgh, John in Carrick, Angie in Mars. Chaplain Steve is in Bedford, Pennsylvania today. He got it. Mike and Myers came up with the correct answer. Caden, hello, Caden. Caden thought it might be a triangle. Matt came up with wind chimes. Well done, Matt. Bruce came up with wind chimes as well. Tom was thinking it might be a trolley. It does sound like a trolley bell. And I believe we've acknowledged all of the answers. If you knew we were looking for a wind chime, a Saturday Light Brigade charge is yours. And we'll give the Sound Hound a little bit of food to thank him for bringing along today's sound.
This island is so beautiful. This must be paradise. The hotel is lovely. The staff is super nice. Your room has a terrace that overlooks the sea. The sun is dancing on the water. Lucky Rosalie. You close your eyes for a minute. In the distance you can hear the shimmering of wind chimes so far and yet so near. The sound perfumes the air. The ocean sighs below. A perfect moment here on earth. You don't want to let it go. Wind chimes. Floating on the breeze. Wind chimes. Tickling in the trees. Wind chimes. The sound of angels. Cloud dancing. Wind chimes. There is nothing as entrancing You are swimming in the ocean. You are lying on the beach. You are reading a thick book. You are eating a peach. You are walking on the shoreline. You are picking up pink shells. The whole time somewhere out there, is that the sound of tiny bells? No, it's... It's wind chimes, floating on the breeze, wind chimes, tickling the trees, wind chimes, the sound of angels, belly dancing, wind chimes. There is nothing as enchanting. You eat your dinner on the terrace, then watch that burning sun extinguished by the ocean. Evening has begun. You turn down the blankets, climb into your feather bed. But something's keeping you awake. Is it deep thoughts in your head? No, it's wind chimes. Floating on the breeze, wind chimes. Tickling the trees, wind chimes. The sound of angels, polka dancing, wind chimes. A sound you once thought life enhancing. You close all the windows, but that tinkling sound breaks. Chimes, floating on the breeze, wind chimes, tickling the trees, wind chimes. Wind chimes, a sound you once thought enchanting, wind chimes, angels, Irish step dancing. Too much of a good thing is too much, simply that. It's times like this you're glad you travel with a baseball bat. Now you're knocking down the wind chimes. Within a mile of this place, now you're going back to bed with a smile on your face. Crickets. Cricking in the night, crickets. Cricking with all their might, crickets. A dull yet monstrous roar. Crickets, a sound that makes you long for. Everybody now, wind chimes, floating on the breeze, wind chimes, annoying Rosalie, wind chimes, the sound of angels, belly dancing, wind chimes. There is nothing as enchanting.
There, you've got Christine Lavin. Oh, I love Christine Lavin. And she's performing in Greenwich Village soon. They're doing a tribute to the Greenwich Village folk scene. I've been reading about. If you Google Greenwich Village tribute, you'll probably be able to find more information about that. It's wonderful to know she's still active, writing and thinking and performing.
The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation is devoted to helping children and families learn about herbs, their cultivation, and uses. Additional information about herbs is available from the Herb Society of America at herbsociety.org or at mjbergerfoundation.org.
Here is hoping you'll join us for our solar concert series every Thursday. We have free outdoor shows, and this coming Thursday, it's the Morning People. Join us at Buell Community Park. The solar concert series is presented by SLB in partnership with Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and Nova Place, with power by our pals at Zero Fossil. For details, slbradio.org. Thank you for being with us today. Coming up, artist Tina Dillman joins us live and in the studio. We'll also celebrate Brigadier birthdays. today and in the week ahead, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Why don't you do it in a circle, do it in a square, do it in a tux or in your underwear? Nobody's watching, nobody cares, just get out there and dance. Why don't you do it with your feet, do it with your hands, do it to a record or the Rhythm Boys Band? Why part of boogie don't you understand, just get out there and dance. You gotta get up there, get in the groove, oh let things get loose, let everything move. Your head starts a bobbing, your toes start a tapping, your hands start a clapping. Now anything can happen, you can step it to the left, step it to the right. Your shoulders start to shimmy with your hips all night. As long as you're doing it, you're doing it right. Just get out there and dance. Or you can do it in the morning or in the afternoon, underneath the chandelier or underneath the moon. Don't have any music, just hum yourself a tune. Just get out there and dance. Or you can do it to a polka, do it to a waltz, do it in a line to some guy shouting calls. If you're not having fun, get your own silly thought. Just get out there and dance. You gotta get up there, get in the groove, or let things get loose, let your whole self move. Your head starts a bobbing, your toes start a tapping, your hands start a clapping. Now anything can happen. You can step it to the left, step it to the right. Your shoulders start to shimmy with your hips all night. As long as you're doing it, you're doing it right. Just get up there and dance. On the carpet and cut yourself a rug. Do it often enough, you're gonna catch that bug. Just get out there and dance. Or you can learn from Arthur Murray or Dancing with the Stars. Learn from Fred Astaire. Learn from Ginger Rogers. Learn from young people and learn from old codgers. Just to get out there and dance. You gotta get out there, get in the groove, or let things get loose. Starts a bobbing, your toes start a tapping, your hands start a clapping. Now anything can happen. You can step it to the left, step it to the right. Your shoulders start to shimmy with your hips all night. As long as you're doing it, you're doing it right. Just get out there and dance. Just get out there and dance.
That is a brand new recording. You've heard Tim O'Brien do that song there. It was Gordon Crazy Legs McKeeman from Canada. And Get Out There and Dance, the song that he did. In just a moment, we're going to talk with Tina Dillman. But before we do, we're going to say a quick, not a quick hello, but an hello to Kathy Barrett Wood, who is here to talk about a storytelling festival that's underway. How are you, Kathy?
Oh, I'm doing well, Larry. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
I'm so happy that you can join us. The Pittsburgh Storytelling Series is underway, full bore, anything but bore, full, not boring. And it's going to be all virtual, at least for the shows in September, October, and November. And can you tell us a bit about the tellers that you have coming in this year?
Yes, you bet. Our first teller, which will be this next Thursday, that's the September 23rd, will be Diane Frelette. She is an African-American teller who has more than 30 years experience telling all around the world. She's an award-winning performer. She kind of tells about her experiences as an African-American, but also has personal stories and stories that she likes to tell that she says enables us to learn about each other. So what more could you want from that, right?
That sounds like a great evening. So that will be at 7 o'clock on September 23rd. And then in October, you have Misty Mater coming back to tell. She's been here on the air with us before. What will she be doing that night?
She will be, yes, Misty Mater is one of our own local tellers. And she will be telling stories that that celebrate culture and inspire creativity. She draws on her study of traditional myths, and she's also a mother of four. So, my goodness, there are just oodles of stories that she loves to tell about those experiences.
And then in November, I don't know Ed Stuyvesant's work, but November 18th at 7, he'll be on hand as part of the Tell series. And what will he do?
Oh, yes. Ed Stuyvesant is an epic and just a so well-known storyteller in the storytelling community and just around the world. He has been called the Robin Williams of storytelling. He is just a great humorist. He has told at so many festivals around the country. He has a book that's called Raised Catholic. And parts of that have been either told or printed in many other places. He's known for his whimsy and his wit and his wisdom. And he's just a great improvisationer. Would you call that? I don't know. Is that a word? But he loves to, he's just a fantastic performer.
Well, that sounds like a great lineup. And he'll be here on November 18th. These are all virtual, so you can enjoy them. You know, there have been so many storytelling series and podcasts and public radio and other forums, but this form of live storytelling has been around for a long, long time, where people share stories live in a community setting. And the Pittsburgh Storytelling Series, you can get complete information at tellpgh.org and keep in touch. Anything else you wanted to mention, Kathy?
Yes, I will just also mention that in December, we're having what we call a Winter Olio So there will be five tellers that will be telling that evening, each with about 10 to 15 minutes. One of the tellers will be Tim Araneta, who won our folktale fight back in the spring. It was not a, you know, fist fight. It was a competition, more or less, of six different tellers, and it came down to he became the champion after much judging and voting by both the audience and some judges. And he's from Berkeley, California, so he will be one of the tellers in December. That will be December 16th, also a Thursday night, and also 7 o'clock via Zoom. We have four other tellers that will join him. Three of those have been confirmed. Motoko, who is a Japanese-American, Mike Perry, a local storyteller from Pittsburgh, and April Armstrong. The fifth person has yet to be confirmed, but we will definitely have that probably in the next a couple of weeks or so. So that this kind of rounds out the whole festival, more or less, the whole series, the Tell series. So we hope that your listeners will want to come and join. And, you know, you can do it right from the comfort of your own home when things are done via Zoom, right?
Kathy, thank you. And congratulations for continuing the tradition of storytelling. I've known you for a long time. It's been probably 30 years. I can still remember watching you do Rindersella all those years ago and thinking, gosh, what a fun thing this is. And you've really worked hard to make sure these traditions stay active locally. So thanks so much for doing that and for being with us today.
You bet. Thank you so much, Larry. We really, really appreciate the fact that we can come on to your show and share this with all your listeners as well. So you're doing a great job. Thank you so much.
You can learn more at tellpgh.org. And we're pretty much right on time for welcoming another guest today, Tina Dillman, who I remember speaking to on the phone a couple months ago, I think. And I want to start, before I introduce her, she's brought this gorgeous print that I'm holding up as if you can see it, even though you can't. Maybe I'll take a picture of this and put it up on her Facebook page. But it's the Bloomfield Garden Club presented by TD Projects. And it's sort of a, I don't know what the color is, kind of a oak tag paper. The colors are just beautiful on this, Tina. How did you make this?
Oh, thank you. Well, I worked with a local designer, and then I worked with a local print shop who screen printed them for me. So they're, I believe, in the gift economy. And so every guest that comes to one of the garden clubs receives this poster as a takeaway.
How would you describe the gift economy for folks? I think it's kind of self-evident, but this is a way to support artisans through making sure that the gifts you create have local involvement.
Well, there's that element. I think it's important to support your local economy and small businesses, but also the idea of a gift. It's not necessarily something earned, but it's something given and then received without any sort of monetary exchange per se, just because.
We were just talking about this last week, a few of us here at SLB, that so many relationships, if you want to call them even relationships, have become transactional in nature, and not in a gift economy way, but transactional in terms of I'll do this if you do that, or if you do this, I'll do that. And what a nice way to look at it. It's just a little surprise, a thank you, or a gesture. It's more than a gesture, but a showing of goodwill. This is just beautiful, and it also summarizes the work. Tell me, you're the founder of the Bloomfield Garden Club. Tell me how this came about.
Sure. Last summer, I was actually sitting in a friend's backyard who had a beautiful garden space, and it just I asked them if I could utilize it for a pop-up event. So the work that I do as an artist is really kind of rooted in the community and thinking about economic development and supporting artists. And because of the pandemic, a lot of our, most of our opportunities were, stripped away from us. And I came up with this idea of creating a safe space where artists could present work in a live setting to a small audience. So last year, I worked with different people around Pittsburgh who donated their backyards or their had an exhibit in Braddock at an art space and ended up doing the garden club inside the gallery, but there was really good ventilation. But I really, took into consideration every detail to make sure it was safe, like not just for the artists, but, for the guest as well. And I was following research there was research out last year that, in space, even outdoor spaces with more than, 25 guests, like rates of, getting COVID was quite high. It was like 1 in 3. So I was like, okay, well, this has got to be a lot smaller than 25 then. So in most spaces, we had like 8 to 10 guests maximum. And there were, unfortunately, I had to charge a ticket price in order for the artist to receive a stipend. But we were able to raise enough money through that and some individual donations. So every artist earned a small stipend.
It clearly was really and is really important for you to have done this when so many doors were closing for artists. To be able to interact with people, it must be just debilitating if you're an artist in so many different ways that's used to creating and interacting with other artists or with people who admire the work you do, and that there's an economic impact if you can't sell your art, but it also really has to leave a huge hole and your sense of being, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of artists have, sort of solo practices, where they're working in a studio of some sort. Excuse me. One of the things that I think gets overlooked is this sense and need for community. And so we really, need others around us, in the physical sense, to share ideas, and what have you. So, all of the projects I do have that sense of creating community, in a physical space and gathering. So
I think that's really important. And again, I was chatting with somebody this week, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but so many of my interactions with other people now are not unwittingly by appointment. We need to talk about this. Let's schedule a call for this time or a Zoom, meeting for this time, as opposed to the accidental casual interactions that occur in public spaces or even in offices or workplaces where you're used to just seeing people and an idea pops into your head and you share it. Those are really important. We can't lose track, I think, of the importance of those. So what you're doing with the Bloomfield Garden Club and the projects you're doing is creating that kind of space. So that's, congratulations, that's significant.
Thank you.
Are there ways that folks can participate? Do you have events coming up? that folks can take part in?
So actually this weekend at the Hammett Place Community Garden, which is in Wilkinsburg, there is a garden club happening starting at 1 today and tomorrow, and it'll be featuring three local artists, Senta Schumacher, who's a photographer, will be doing an installation, and Sarah Tancred, who is a ceramic artist, will also be utilizing the garden beds for her work. And then performance multimedia artist Christina McNeese will be presenting us with a performance as well. So so these are outdoor, and there's tickets still available. They're available on a sliding scale of $10 to $25. So if someone was to show up and wanting to attend, they, you know, could bring cash or, you know, pay via Venmo or PayPal as well.
And the venue, again, the gardens, what are they called?
Oh, yeah, Hammett Place Community Garden.
And where? I know it's in Wilkinsburg. What's it close to? Or?
It's the address is 502 Jeanette, which is off of Rebecca.
Okay, I know that street very well. So that's today?
Yes, wonderful. Today and tomorrow.
Oh, good. I was wondering if it was today or tomorrow. And I think we've linked to your website. Let me check and make sure. Shame on us if we didn't, but I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah, and people can also find it if they're on social media, on Facebook. My business is called TD Projects, and I have a Facebook page for that. And so there's an event page if people are interested.
And if you go to tinadillman.com, you'll find a whole story of the Bloomfield Garden Club there as well.
Yeah, my website is an archive at this point. So there's past projects from, you know, 2009 from there on. So,
are you from the Pittsburgh area originally?
No, I arrived 2.5 years ago through a fully funded arts writing residency that was sponsored through Associated Artists of Pittsburgh and Bunker Projects. So they brought me here, and through that opportunity, I got to know the community, and I really liked what I saw and was experiencing, so I decided to extend my stay, and 2.5 years later, I'm still here.
That's wonderful. It worked. It got you here. Where did you come from? Or tell me about your past life a little bit. Were you were raised elsewhere, clearly?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of like a cat. I have 9 lives. I've lived all over the country, except the South. Let's see. I was born and raised in central New York. I grew up in the smallest city called Sherrill. Lived there until I was 18 and then went away to college. Ended up graduating with my BFA in painting and drawing from the University of Iowa.
Wow.
And then I had this amazing opportunity to move to Providence, Rhode Island, and work for this incredible arts nonprofit called AS220. And I got to work like right under the founder and director at the time, Bert Krenka, who taught me everything about the inner workings of a nonprofit. And then I had an opportunity to move to San Francisco for work, and lived there between there and Oakland for 10 years. Went to graduate school, ran an art space called We. And then in 2014, I had a family emergency that I had to come back east for. So since then, I've been trying to find the right place to live and still be close enough to my folks who are still in the area where I grew up. And I was in Buffalo right before here for a few years.
I'm glad your travels made it to Pittsburgh. And thank you for sharing that, because some folks, many folks, I think, wonder about the life of an artist. None is typical. There's really no typical human life at all, but they wonder, you know, about career paths? How do you make a living doing this? How do you continue your practice and craft? And especially for younger folks who wonder about that, we don't often talk about that kind of stuff. So it's good to know that. I'm glad Pittsburgh has grown on you. Did anything surprise you about Pittsburgh when you arrived here?
Let's see. Surprise. Well, I found maneuvering around town quite challenging. you guys have a lot of really reckless drivers. I don't know. They should maybe up the driving age to 18 here or something and make people go to like more classes. But I've never lived anywhere in the country where driving is like, I'm not religious, but I do a little like thing before I get in my car because there are so many accidents. Like even just on the way here, I saw two cars that were like put to the side of the highway that had been in an accident. Like they were all like messed up. And the other day I had an accident happen right in front of me. It's really dangerous and scary out there. And it's one of the things when I chat with people that are new to the area that I'm just like, be very cautious while you're driving. Because I mean, my folks came to visit me a couple weeks ago and I was like, please be careful out there.
People have gotten so everywhere, have gotten so distracted too as they drive and looking at their phones. We have the Pittsburgh Left going for us, you know, where we'll let you turn.
The chairs and the on the street to mark parking spots. Oh, and then like the parking where they park on the wrong side of the road facing the wrong direction.
That's a bad one, yeah.
But you can't do that in Wilkinsburg because I did and I got a ticket.
I've had tickets for doing that. In fact, it was when I lived in Edgewood. So maybe that's a no-no in the East End.
Yeah.
Well, our time, gosh, I knew it was going to go quickly. Is there anything else you want to mention? TinaDelman.com is probably the best place to go for information, right?
Yeah, my contact information is on there. I guess just a little PSA is to, please support your local artist and the arts community here. There's so many wonderful people doing really great things. And there's so many wonderful, like, small arts businesses and art nonprofits. And, you know, for people that are looking, you know, to get involved, like, we're always looking for volunteers to help out with different projects and events. And it's a great way to meet people.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to wish some people a happy birthday. I can't tell you how happy we are to have you here. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
And it is birthday time. If you've been listening and waiting for your birthday, happy birthday today to Dick of Avalon. We love you, Dick. Here's hoping that you have a great birthday. Also, Ava from Amy Sullivan, Juniper, and your family. They're both celebrating today. Tomorrow we have Jerry of Strabane, from Laura, Nico, Yorma, and Jake, and Max of Upper St. Clair from Mom and Dad and Sister Anna. On Monday the 20th, Isabella of Moon Township from Mom and Dad, Jack of Westview, Carol of McKees Rocks from Russell, Grace from your family, and Jack of Bellevue. On Tuesday the 21st, Thomas George Benici from Aunt Sheila, Uncle Ken, and Cousins Hannah and Aaron. Shannon of Harmony from your family. Dale of Lower Burl from Brother Justin and family. And Tara of Washington, PA, from Mom, Dad, Noah, and Rebecca. On the 22nd, Wednesday, we have Maria from Mom and Dad. And siblings, Julia, Peter, and Andrew. Matthias of Oakland from Mom Christine. Sarah from Lou, Maureen, and Sam. So good to talk with both or to have interaction with you this week on our puzzle. Lou and Maureen and Sarah, happy birthday to you. It says here that you're, you're one shy of a milestone here. Happy birthday to Tanner of Upper St. Clair from Mom and Dad at Hunter. On the 23rd, Trent of Katanning from Chloe, Isaac, Abby, and family. And twins Lila and Lily of Fox Chapel celebrate on the 23rd. Finally, on the 24th, we have Connor of Canfield, Ohio from your whole family. Julia of Wexford, Aubrey of Gibsonia, Cassius of Edgewood, Rachel of Allison Park, Kathy of Castle Shannon from John, Jeff, and Aaron, Danielle of McDonald from Troy, Crescent, and Mila, and Sydney of Brentwood from Mom, Jane, and Dad, Ken. Send your birthdays to us at slbradio.org/birthdays, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU PFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, RadioPhoenix.org. Loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, WMCK.fm, McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and slbradio.org/radio.
Herbs in Action. Reflections and stories from the Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens Botany in Action Fellows, discussing herbs from around the world.
Hi, my name's Andrea Drager. I'm a PhD student at Rice University, and I study plant-pollinator interactions in tropical forests. In particular, I'm interested in how rare trees compete with common trees to achieve pollination in the Congo Basin. The herb I'd like to talk about is Moabi, scientific name Bilanella toxisperma. Toxisperma because the seed coat is very poisonous, but the inside of the seed isn't. The seed itself produces a very rich oil that's used by people in the region traditionally for cosmetics and medicinal purposes, and also to eat as a delicacy. It smells a little like chocolate, and it fetches a very high price, so it's sought after for that. The tree is also very important traditionally for medicinal purposes, its bark, and it's important on a spiritual level for ethnic groups in the region as well. Despite how important it is locally, it's being lost. The populations are dwindling because it's also very valuable for timber. This tree is also really loved by animals and really important for the ecosystem. In particular, large animals like forest elephants and great apes, chimpanzees and gorillas love it and depend on it. They'll travel for miles to find fruiting trees.
Herbs in Action is a collaboration between Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens and the Saturday Light Brigade, and is made possible by the Mary Jane Berger Memorial Foundation, dedicated to educating the community about the many benefits and uses of herbs. To hear this feature again, or to learn more about herbs from around the world, visit mjbergerfoundation.org.
Subscribe to the Herbs in Action podcast. New episodes weekly.
Never been the kind to worry. highway name.